Golf Smarter, number 471, published on January 13, 2015, is brought to you by Harry's. For guys like us who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the new code GOLF when you check out.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Letting go of the bad shots with Tom Good.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Tom.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for reaching out to me via LinkedIn. No, that's interesting. Not many people will do that, but I appreciate you doing that because there were a couple things in your introductory letter that really stood out to me that you teach golfers how to manage a golf course. And I think that is such an important part of the game that most people don't really get. And I want to spend some time on that.
Okay, that sounds good.
But before we do that, let's establish who you are, where you come from, what you're doing these days, and why in the heck that I'm talking to you today.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been kind of a long, fun journey for me. I've been in this business all my life, pretty much as a child. I grew up in it. I've played professionally. I played in college. When I ended up not being able to make the money I needed to make professionally, I figured I could probably teach the game better than I could play it. So I gravitated into teaching. In fact, I started my first lessons in 1972 at Lincoln Park Golf Course in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 22 years I spent, well, actually it's probably a little longer ago than that, 22 years at Almaden Country Club as the director of instruction and head golf professional. And then 4 years ago, I made a move to go strictly back into teaching full-time at Cinnabar Hills Golf Club in San Jose, where I'm the director of instruction.
Very good. So when you said you played professionally, tell me a little bit about that. That always is intriguing to me.
Well, it was, I had worked in the club business for a little while as a young guy right out of college and decided that I'd like to try to play the game for a living. So I did the whole deal of going through the tour school qualifying after working for about 5 years, not playing a lot of competitive golf. And I went and missed the first stage of the tour school by one shot. So I thought, heck, maybe let's pursue this. So I played mini tour golf in Arizona and around California for about 2 years. And I'll never forget my first round as a professional. I shot 67, and I felt absolutely fantastic. I went into the scoreboard, and I was 6 shots behind the lead after one round.
One of the best rounds of your life, and it's like...
Exactly.
You're not that good.
That's about as good as I can play, and I was 6 back. So that was quite a while ago. That was when everybody wasn't quite as good as they are today. But I did play for a while, and then when kind of that kind of served its purpose, I got back into the club professional business and concentrating a lot on teaching. That was when I really decided that was what I wanted to do. And so I've been teaching pretty much off and on for 40 years, the last 30 years exclusively teaching. So
great. I want to go back to that first round that you had when you were playing professionally. Is that one a 3 or 4 day tournament?
It was, my memories, that was quite a few years ago, but I believe they were 3 day tournaments at that time.
Okay. So, It's so fun to watch recreational amateur golfers who get frustrated that they don't get better every single round, and they'll go out and shoot a 85 and be ecstatic about it and think that they've got everything figured out, and the next day they'll go out and shoot a 97, and it can range 10 strokes on any given day. Do you happen to remember? You shoot a 67, you're stoked, you're pumped up, and then the next day, do you have any recollection of how you did that?
Yeah, I believe it was somewhere close to par. But I think what happens is you go out and shoot around like that, then the next day you go back out and try to do the same thing. And as soon as you start trying to do something in this game, that's when you get into trouble.
Ooh, please expand on that. That's really an interesting concept. It's when you try to do something.
Exactly. And I kind of use the analogy a lot in teaching. When we get in our car and drive down the road or down the street, going to the store or wherever, we really don't think about the mechanics of driving the car. We don't think about getting in, fastening our seatbelt, doing all those things that need to get us there. We just end up at our destination, and sometimes you stop and wonder, oh, wow, here's my exit. I got to get off the road right here. Well, what happens a lot of times when you get on that golf course and you've just had a really good round, you go back to the course the next day and you say, oh, now what was I doing? I think I must have been turning really well. I was using my body well. And you start thinking about the mechanics of the golf swing rather than just playing the game, looking at the golf course and picking your target and just letting your swing work what you've been teaching it.
Are you telling me that we think too much when we're on the golf course?
Oh, probably about 99% of us do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're just trying to figure out. And I think as humans, we have this tendency to always be trying to figure things out. Whether we've hit a bad shot, we try to figure out what we did wrong. Then when we hit a good shot, we try to figure out what we did.
You have a good shot and you think it's an anomaly and you're going, yeah, but I'm hitting bad shots today, and you keep focused on the bad shots.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that good shot wasn't me. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm the guy that hits it out of bounds left all the time. So
right.
Yeah, that was someone else in my body.
Yeah. Where'd you play in college?
I played at BYU.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I played for a couple years there and then went to work at my family golf course after that. And that was kind of when I got into the business at that time.
Oh, whoa, wait. A family golf course? So you said you were in it your entire life. What is a family golf course?
My father was a golf professional and we grew up. I can remember as a kid, 10, 11 years old, picking the driving range, doing all the work, washing the carts. So I've been in it pretty much all my life, which is I'm 63 years old right now. So I've been around it a long time, seen a lot, done a lot.
Yeah. No.
Lot
okay. All right. So now I'm thinking you're a teenage boy. You're working for your family. You're driving the golf. You know, picking up balls off the driving range, and you're saying to yourself, "I am not going to be in this business. This is ridiculous." I mean, were there times that you were going, okay, this is not going to work for me. I'm going to be an accountant.
Nope. never had that thought. I was going to play. I was going to play professionally. I think I've had maybe two other part-time jobs in my entire life outside of golf.
Which were?
That was when I was in high school. I sold men's clothing for a while, and then I got a job one time for a fencing company, and I found out that I was the only, they hired me because I had a driver's license. It wasn't anything about building fences. I could drive the truck. So, you know, that was when I was about 18 years old. So anyway, and that was it. Then from then on, it's been golf, all aspects of golf.
Wow. Do you have siblings?
I do.
They go in the business as well, or are they the ones that said, I am not going to do this?
Let's just say that they started in it. We were all in it at one time, and they got smart and got out of it.
So. And so you're the bad good.
Yeah, right.
So, the bad member
actually,
of the
no,
good
I,
family.
I had an older brother that went into the superintendent business, taking care of the golf courses rather than being the golf professional.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, we were all in at one time.
That's awesome.
At one point, all four of us, my father and my two brothers, we were all pros at the same time. So.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Great story. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to us. Let's figure out what we're doing wrong here. And I love the idea of talking about thinking too much. And you know, I know that there's times where I'm playing well, and I'll focus more on the fact that I'm feeling confident as opposed to knowing what I did right.
Okay.
So, because I just, you know, I hear so often in talking to so many instructors that confidence is such a key to every shot. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think, confidence obviously is vital, but I kind of look at it like which comes first, the confidence or the consistency of doing something, you know, in a routine where you're practicing the right things and you're practicing your tempo and all that. And then so you start hitting better shots, and then out of those better shots comes the confidence. So, you know, what came first, the egg or the chicken? You know, so you have to have that consistency in the golf swing and be practicing the right things to create the confidence. So, and then once you feel that confidence on the golf course, the hardest part is just trusting yourself and believing in what you're doing.
And also, I would think it's really important to understand and be at peace with yourself and knowing things happen out of your control, that there are going to be bad shots. There are going to be bad results to good shots.
Exactly. And it's one of the things that it's really hard to work with younger players sometimes, because they think they're immune to ever hitting a bad shot. So they could be really, really good players, but the bad shots are as much a part of the game as the good shots. And I sometimes like to have people look at the golf course as, if you're playing an 18-hole round, it's 18 games, and it's maybe going to Las Vegas. The house is going to win most of the holes, so you've got to just kind of manage your mistakes and just realize that. That's part of the game, and the hole is going to beat you sometimes. So, you got to just roll with the punches and have amnesia. Let the bad shots go and focus on the next shot that you're looking at.
How? How do you have? Yeah. How do you get that amnesia? Where, how do you focus on the good and eliminate the negative and not overthink this? I mean, how do you teach that?
Well, I think you've actually got to practice it. It goes back to what I mentioned there before, is that we're always trying to figure out what we did wrong. And I just share a little story with you. One time, a couple years ago, I had a young high school kid come out, and he was pretty big kid. He came out very, very quiet, wouldn't talk very much. And so I had him warm up hitting some 9-irons. And so he hit the first 9-iron about 170 yards, absolutely perfect.
And a 9-iron, 170 yards? Is that what you said? Really?
Yes, that's exactly what I said. I watched the ball, and I said, okay, Nathan, I said, is that a pretty normal 9-iron? And he looked at me and goes, mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so he hit another one about exactly the same. They landed in the same spot. And so he hit 5 shots in a row that were within 5 to 10 yards of each other. And I'm looking, and I said, that is, that's your normal 9-iron. And again, man of few words, he said, mm-hmm. So then he hit one and hit about 3 inches behind it. Okay. Hit this big chunker. So I said, so Nathan, what happened there? And he looked at me like I was like an idiot. And he looked at me, he said, well, I hit behind it. And I said, okay, go on. So it wasn't, why did I do that? Why did I hit behind it? He just accepted that he hit behind it, and that was what it was. So he went on to the next shot.
And probably hit the next one 170 yards.
Yeah, he just hit it out there again, right? So it's what we have to practice is, and I don't think you can just go out there and say, okay, I'm for every bad shot I hit today, I'm just going to forget it and go on to the next one. Because that's not our human nature. It's something that you have to work at. It's something that you have to practice. And you can start practicing it on the driving range. And it's really, really hard to do, to get out of get that out of our mind that gotta hit that bad shot, and you gotta stay in the present. Okay, all right, that shot's gone, and you actually have to talk yourself through that. You have to say, all right, missed that shot. All right, I'm moving on to the next one, and you start focusing on the next shot, and that's gonna help you train yourself to get out of what you just did. Because there's so much time between shots on the golf course. You're either waiting for the people that you're playing with, or waiting for the group in front of you, and the whole time is you're thinking about that last shot you just hit. So I think you have to actually mentally and physically just say, okay, I'm going to the next shot. I'm moving forward here. And it takes time. You might be able to do it for 3 or 4 holes in a round, and then gradually, maybe the next time out, you're able to kind of stay in that present for 6 holes. So it's just something that you have to work at, it's just like practicing the physical shots. You got to practice the mental part.
Tom, I want to ask you about emotionally grasping what happens after the ball leaves the club face. But first, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Harrys.com. Now that it's the new year, let's talk about starting good habits, like saving money. Well, Harry's is here to help you save. If you're a blade user that you are used to paying next to nothing for the handle and upwards of, what, $5 for a blade, right? Are you aware that you can get a better shave for a fraction of the price? Actually, I'm not sure what's worse, paying that much or the hassle it is to purchase blades from a store that keeps them locked up. And you have to wait for someone to find the key, and you have to wait for anyway. Do what I do and eliminate all of that by getting all your shaving needs met by the good people at Harry's. They searched the world for the best blade maker, found a 93-year-old factory in Germany, and then they purchased it. This factory engineers blades for sharpness and high performance, which means no more dull blades that suck and rip your face to shreds. So now you can get the closest and most comfortable shave you've ever had at factory direct pricing and have it delivered to your door for free. Here's my nephew Andy to tell you more.
Hi, this is Andy Katz Mayfield, co-founder of Harry's. My partner Jeff and I started Harry's because we believe that for guys like us who want a great shave for a fraction of what we're paying now, there has to be an alternative. I invite you to go to Harrys.com and see how much money we can save you each year on blades alone. I'd also like to offer you $5 off your first purchase by entering the code GOLF when you check out. We've selected Golf Smarter because we believe that Fred has grown an active, loyal community of guys just like us. So please go to Harrys.com, that's HARRYS.com, and make sure to enter the code GOLF and get $5 off your first purchase. You won't believe the savings and you won't believe your shave.
So for only $15, you can order the Truman Kit, which includes a razor handle with a great look and feel, three razor blades, and a choice of either shaving cream or their new foaming shave gel, which I love, all for only $15. But wait, if you've never ordered from Harry's, I can make it more appealing. How about $10 for the complete kit? That's right. You get $5 off with our new checkout code. So here's what you need to do. Go to Harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. Order the Truman or the Winston. It's a little bit more, but it's a beautiful handle. And use the checkout code GOLF to save $5 on your first order. Now, Tom, we've talked so much on this show about outcome versus process. I never forget, we had one called NATO, which was not attached to outcome. And I find that a lot of people get upset, people that I play with, they get upset with the result of where the ball landed versus their swing, their contact with the ball. And my friends kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? When I'll have a shot that I'm not happy with, that I'm more unhappy with the swing and with the contact than I am with the result. The result, I can't do much about that. I can have a phenomenal drive and it ends up in a bunker. Why should I get upset about that? Right.
Exactly. Take on the challenge of trying to get it out of the bunker.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh boy, this is exciting. Something different.
Well, that's why they put bunkers out there for a reason, for people to hit into them. So you might as well just say, take on the challenge of being able to hit the bunker shot. So.
And what cracks me up is that you'll play with someone who's played that course over and over, and they go, God, I hit into the bunker every single time. And you just want to go, well, there's two things you can do here. One, you can go from a different tee box. Maybe you're playing the wrong tee box.
Right.
Or two, just try a different club this time. If you're going to do that every time, why are you taking the driver out every single time to do this? Are there other options that I'm missing?
I have to hit drive. You know, it's I got two things. I was thinking of one story. Your college coach was talking to me one time about one of his players who was standing on a par 3, 160 hole, water on the right, Arizona on the left, so there's tons of room on the left, right? First ball goes in the water right. Second ball goes in the water right. So it's three balls in a row into the water to the right of the green. she turned to her coach and said, "What do I do?" And the coach said, "Aim left." You know, you just, if you keep making the same mistake, you got to look at it and say, God, that, you know, you don't have to hit driver off every tee.
Right.
You don't have to hit 3 wood on every par five for your second shot just because it's a long ways from the green. But what you're trying to do is keep the golf ball in play and hit the club that you have the most confidence in. And, you know, and I think another mistake people make a lot is they don't play the way they hit the ball. So, you know, if they'll stand on the range and they'll practice, and their driver 98% of the time has a left to right shape to it, sometimes more than others, okay? So they stand up and they aim down the middle of the fairway, and the ball slices into the trees on the right. Okay? So
I know it well.
Do that 98%. Yeah, if you do it 98% of the time, so why don't you just aim down the left side and play the fade rather than trying to hit it straight, which you can't do.
Right. Right.
So I think it's people have to understand their game, know their game. Okay, if you're a 22 handicap and you hit your ball off the tee 185 yards, but in your mind you should be hitting at 230. So then you start trying to hit it 230 yards and it goes further into the trees, further left, missing shots. Okay, rather than just playing your normal game, play what your swing is. It's your perfect golf swing is what you create, not the one that's in Golf Digest or on Golf Channel. And you know, this is what the guys on the tour, this is the way they hit their drive. You know, use your perfect golf swing and play your own game.
Is that something that you teach, is that everyone has their own perfect golf swing, or do you try to recreate what, you know, Rory does?
No, I absolutely do not teach everybody a method. In other words, this is, you come to see me, you're going to learn to swing the golf club this way. What I'm going to do is I'm going to see what you can do physically, you know, where you are in the game, what you want to try to do, you know, what are your goals, and can you physically do some of the things that you read about, or, you know, you have certain restrictions to your body, the flexibility, whatever it is. And, you know, I've played for 40 years. I need to get better. I need to start hooking my driver rather than fading it. And I'm going to try to work with that person with the, what they've got. Bring to me your game, and we'll make your game better by looking at where are you mismanaging your game. You know, you stand out there and I can't hit drivers. Okay. I hit my driver, you know, bad all the time. Well, you kind of, if you really analyze their game, their driver may not be that bad, but they just had 47 putts in 18 holes, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not your driver, it's your putting. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at your game and analyze your game and say, you know, I'm horrible from 50 yards in. It takes me 2 shots to get it on the green, and then I can't get it close on the third shot. So you better start working on your short game.
That actually is what happened to me, and was made a huge difference in my game once I started focusing on my short game in and mm-hmm. around the green. What is the most common problem that you come up with? Is it people don't know the distance they hit each club? They think they're better than they are? What do you find? Not what people ask you, like, I want more consistency, I want to hit the ball farther.
Right.
What do you find is the most common amateur mistake that's going on that they don't recognize they're making?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing you said there was their distance. I think a lot of people really have a misconception of how far they actually hit the ball and how far, you know, they think the ball's going when it's really not. And then they're always coming up short, or they're trying to hit the ball harder than they need to rather than playing within themselves. Hmm. But I think it's a misunderstanding of their true yardages.
How do you get their ego to accept that that's the problem?
I think if I'm working with someone consistently, we're gonna take them out on the golf course mm-hmm. and put them at a certain yardage. It's sometimes really hard to see that actual yardage on the driving range. And then it's a range ball. It doesn't go as far as my regular ball that I play. And then so I think the answer to that is actually getting them on the golf course, putting them at 130 yards and having them hit their 9-iron and dump it 20 yards short in the bunker. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, so your 9-iron really goes 110.
No, it doesn't. I really had...
No, I hit it 130
yeah,
once.
Exactly.
You know, but you
exactly.
bladed it and hit it right in the
one,
belly of the ball.
Right. I hit it 130 once.
Yeah, exactly. It's that... Okay, I can hit it 130, and something happened, but it's, you know, that's not, you know, that, you know, the, it's where you hit the ball, where you hit it on the club face and all mm-hmm. that. So you've just got, I think it's just in coaching and teaching, you've got to get that, have the student gain the confidence, you know, in their coach that I'm there to help. And you know, they've just got to accept the fact that numbers don't lie, you know, and you just have to convince them that. If you might have to take them out two or three times and show them that, hey, here's now, you can knock this 7-iron from 130 yards. You can knock it on the green, you know, 8 out of 9 times, and you're going to play better from there. And, you know, if they accept it, they accept it and they go on to play better golf. And if they don't, they just keep struggling.
This is a great lead-in for something that we talked about in the very beginning, and I do want to get to it, and that is how to manage your game on the golf course. And you said, you know, I'm sure this is just a start when you put the ball 130 yards out and say, give me your best shot. What does it mean to teach someone to manage the golf course?
Well, I think you have to, you first of all, start with their game and their shot shape. What kind of shots do you hit off the tee? You know, how far do you hit it? And what first, you know, so once they understand that, okay, I do play my ball left to right, that's what I play, okay, then you have to take them on the golf course. I don't think you can teach that management standing on the driving range. But then what I would do is get that person on the golf course, stand on the tee and look down the fairway and have them tell me what's out there. What do they see? Where's the trouble? Where don't you want to go? And let them tell themselves, they'll convince themselves. They say, well, geez, the water, it's all water down the right hand side. I definitely don't want to go there. So you get them to actually see a picture of the hole. And where's the best place to play that? And now, and then start working on club selection. You know, where's your, you know, this is a little tight driving hole. What club do you have the most confidence in? You know, I really like my 7-wood. Okay, so hit your 7-wood off this tee. Put it in play. Put the next shot in play. Get it inside 100 yards to the green, and then get it on the green, 2-putt, walk away with bogey. You know, so you just, I think you have to show it to them and prove to them there's other ways to play the golf rather than always hitting driver off of par fours and par fives, and you know, just understand how to back off a little bit, play more within themselves.
And then the whole shot shape idea. There's a natural shot shape that everybody has, but so often I'll see middle handicappers, and I'm talking, you know, 15 to. Well, what do you consider a middle handicap?
Probably 15 to 22,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
All right, so somebody
like
who's shooting high 80s, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're out there, and I've seen it so many times it cracks me up. It says, oh, all I need to do is hit a slight draw here, and all I need to do is hit it low, and it's like I've admitted to myself, I don't know how to shape my shots. I don't know how. I don't have that many tools in my bag, if you will,
mm-hmm.
That my ball has just a natural fade to it, and I've accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
My irons go farther right than I want them to, and I'm working on that. But there's so many people that these middle handicappers that are talk about shaping their shots and talk about knowing what they did wrong. I lifted my head. But really, but it's like, really, should people be trying to shape their shots if they're not a single-digit handicapper?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if you're, you know, and I'll if I really feel confident with my student, you know, and they're talking about, you know, shaping shots and doing this, I said, if you want to do that, you got to get a lower handicap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, I think... You know, if people who are average to higher handicaps just trust themselves to play what, again, their perfect golf swing gives them. When they're swinging right, man, it's a little left to right, boom, that ball goes right in the fairway every time. I'm never out of the fairway. And, you know, they're just going to play so much better and have so much more fun. But I think we're in this, you know, you've got Golf Channel now, and you watch any of the tournaments on TV, and this whole, okay, he's got to hit it out there right, he's got to bring it in right to left here, and they talk about this. So as a human, we're out there and we're thinking, man, okay, I'm going to hook this ball. Well, they don't know how to hook it. They don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they're trying it on the golf course. So if they want to start learning how to work the ball, they've got to do it on the driving range. And most of the time, no one ever practices shaping shots or trying to make a ball go right to left. So they have no idea how to do it, and they don't know if they can. So then they're trying it on the golf course, and it ends up into a triple bogey or a quadruple bogey or something like that, because they got a shot they're trying that they've never hit in their life.
I'm going to go a little sidetrack here, because this came up in my round the other day with a friend of mine. We were talking about fade versus slice, or a draw versus a hook,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, so like, okay. So a slice is an exaggerated fade, correct?
Correct.
It's a left to right.
It's a left to right shape, and usually starts left of the target and ends up right of the target.
Is a slice?
That's a slice.
Okay,
right?
And a fade?
A fade a lot of times will be just it's a softer curve, maybe starting at the target and then just drifting off to the right.
Okay, and then going that's left to right. Now going right to left, we have. Go ahead.
You got a hook. Okay, hook, big curve right to left usually. You know, I think most hooks kind of start at the target and curve way left, or just a slight draw. It's usually a little higher shot, drops softly down left of the target.
And a cut? What's a cut? That's where this conversation led the other day. We were like, hey, that's a cut. Well, I don't know. What's a cut?
Okay, a cut is more it's kind of an intentional slice where you never release the golf club. You hold on really, if you're a right hander, you hold on really firm with your left, and you actually try to hit the ball left with a swing path that comes across the ball and puts dramatic left to right spin on the ball.
Oh, and going the opposite way would be called what? Right to left,
kind of a pull hook, right to left, and kind of a pull draw, where you're actually.
But that's an intentional.
That's intentional, where you're really trying to close the club face over the ball, keep it low, and get it going around a tree left right. Or something like that.
Is it so dangerous for us to watch tournaments on TV and listen to these guys? Because then we walk out going, "Okay, I got it."
Yeah, because I think the guys, I'll probably get in trouble here to tell you. I mean, I think they talk too much instead of just letting us watch the tournament and. You know, they're just, you know, and the one I love on the golf tournaments is when he's got no chance here to get this up and down. He's in the deep rough. He's got it here. He's got green sloping away from him. Water on the other side, and the guy hits it up 2 feet.
Yeah, right.
Well, okay.
Right. In my wildest dreams, I never would have thought.
Yeah. But, you know, I think most slices and I see this so much for I'm kind of talking right-handed player here, but most slices come when the player is trying to hit the ball straight. I guarantee you that everybody that's gone down to the range to practice, they're trying to hit the ball straight.
And you should not try to hit the ball straight?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think it's the hardest shot in golf to hit.
Really?
If you take, okay, just picture an iron, you know, anything, 7-iron, 6-iron, okay, the face is flat. The ball is round. And if you look at the contact point between the ball and the club face, you know, there's not a lot of room for error there. So as soon as you start trying to guide that ball straight, you get tension in your hands. You're trying to keep the golf club going straight at the target rather than letting it release naturally. And if you happen to line it up with good timing, the ball goes relatively straight, but it's much easier to curve the ball one way or the other.
Mm. Hey, you know what? We're out of time. So here's what I'd like to do. Can you hang around so we can continue this conversation? We'll do part two.
Sure.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. But before you go, please tell me, if people want to get in touch with you, do you have a website? What's the best way if they're living in the South Bay of the Bay Area and they want some lessons, or if they want to, they've enjoyed this conversation, they want to travel to meet you and work with you, how's the best way to get in touch with you?
My website is Tom Good, G-O-O-D, one word, at thegoodgolfconnection.com.
That's your email address.
I'm sorry, that's my email. See that?
Uh-huh.
San Jose Golf Lessons.
Okay, wait. It's Tom. What? Wait.
I'm talking way too fast here.
That's okay. I do that all the time.
Okay.
It's not a problem.
So I just gave you my email.
Okay, which is Tom Good at what? The
at the Good Golf Connection.
Good Golf Connection. Okay. .com. That's your email. All right.
Right. Phone number 408-460-8025.
Okay, good. And do you have a website?
I do. I'm going to give you it's lessons.com.
Should I be interviewing your wife?
No, sir.
Sam,
I have about three websites, and I never get the right one going. So.
It's because you're a golf.
If you wanted to go to another one, it was golfmds.com/Tom Good.
GolfMDs. Okay. Slash Tom. Tom.
Yep. GolfMDs.com.
Okay. .com.
Slash Tom Good.
Okay. Slash Tom Good. All right.
That's in my calendar and the whole thing and some other information on there.
Oh, great.
So
I'm going to ask you more about that when we come on for our next show. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate you agreeing to do part two of this, and I hope you're enjoying talking this.
I'm enjoying it. Thanks for letting me babble.
Up next, we'll get Tom Good for one more episode, and this time we'll focus on how to minimize the damage when things start falling apart during your round. I actually had not a great example, but an example of that happened to me last weekend. I had a nice 42 on the front, then very satisfied with that. Then started the back nine with three birdies, a par, another birdie. Calm down, Fred. Don't get too excited. Yeah, I did. But then had consecutive double bogeys, another bogey, and a par in 18 for a 1/38. So close. But it was a lot of fun, and hopefully I'm glad I didn't fall too deep into the hole. But we'll learn more about that and how to avoid that next time with Tom. And a lot of this info has turned into some pretty fun conversations on game golf. There are a lot of Golf Smarter listeners who are now using a game golf. Hopefully it's working for you as well as it has for me. And we get, you know, each time you post a round, we get informed of the score that's been posted. So thanks to you, whether you're in the UK, the US, Australia, to those who've been chatting with me online, I love it. There's also a lot more of you who've been participating in our conversations on the Golf Smarter Facebook page and Twitter at Golf Smarter. So if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions you want to go directly to me without other people watching it, not a problem. Tell me how I can make Golf Smarter better for you. Tell me which coaches that you like the best, and I'll get them back. Let's hear who your favorites are. All you have to do is click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.